Well, this time next week, the Federal Treasurer will be just hours away from handing down his third federal budget. And he may be recalling how his pandemic-delayed budget last year, which he delivered in October, was widely criticised for leaving women behind. Josh Frydenberg has signalled the budget will contain measures to boost the workforce of female-dominated professions. But there's pressure on the government to do a lot more than that, to craft a gender-responsive budget with gender equality goals that will improve the economic lives of women in Australia. Emily Burke reports.
The global health crisis sparked by the pandemic has jolted economies, depleted government reserves and shifted policy priorities. But Australia's recovery out of the COVID recession has been described by many as remarkable.
I can't disagree with that. It has been spectacular in so many ways.
Sarah Hunter is chief economist at BIS Oxford Economics, and she explained why to the National Press Club.
Because we saw it coming, the government was able to preempt in a way that they would never normally be able to. So, you know, we had JobKeeper, JobSeeker, all of those other support payments to SMEs, to other social security beneficiaries announced ahead of when they effectively needed them. And that's really important because it gave people some certainty. And that, put together with the public health response, I think, really explains why it was such a sharp recovery.
But she said next week's federal budget must look at ways to kickstart the migration program.
This economy is geared up for migration. All of our structures are sort of geared around the idea that we do bring in skilled labour in particular on a fairly frequent basis, and we're clearly not doing that right now. So I think at least some clarity and pointers on what that might look like as how we get migrants back in would be very helpful.
The size, composition and targets of Australia's migration program are usually made clear in the budget, but that will be tricky at a time when the borders are closed. Gabriella D'Souza is a senior economist at the Committee for the Economic Development of Australia.
It was once a great source of pride for our nation that we were able to attract the brightest students to our foremost educational institutions. But more recently, this seems to have been forgotten, especially in the government's financial supports. In addition to contributing to economic activity, migrants also contribute to the fiscal balances of governments through tax revenues. Migrants, in short, are good for the budget. They're younger, they work for longer, and they pay into the tax system far more than they take out.
So which industries need imported workers?
Every industry is really struggling at the moment, right from hospitality to, you know, advanced sciences. You know, Canva and Atlassian have been complaining as well. So we're seeing those skills needs crop up almost everywhere in the market. So there are a lot of businesses that are really struggling to get in the talent that they need.
The pandemic continues to disproportionately affect women both in and out of the workforce.
Just like this government is intent on cutting the red tape that gets in the way of business, it needs to slash all forms of pink tape that get in the way of women's workforce participation.
Leonora Rees is chair of the Women in Economics Network.
At the depths of the recession, women shouldered 3 out of 5 job losses across Australia. And yet the government's policy response was blindingly high-vis and hard hats. Expand public provision of childcare and early learning, aged care, disability care, mental health service delivery, and community care. A gender lens shows that this would not only create more jobs in female-dominated sectors, but also free up unpaid carers, predominantly women, to increase their paid workforce involvement.
The government has already foreshadowed big spending on childcare, but Leonora Rees says it's not enough.
Grattan produced a report that it's around about 270,000 families who will benefit, but there's around 1 million families out there who are seeking this. So you're talking about that's a quarter of demand.
She wants the government to apply a gender lens to its spending priorities, but she's not optimistic.
There is capacity, but I don't think I'm getting signs from the government so far that it really understands the depth and the pervasiveness of these gender inequities that we're talking about here.
Leonora Rees is chair of the Women in Economics Network. Emily Burke with that report. And just on the federal budget next Tuesday, we will have the usual PM programs for you, plus a PM special, which will bring you the Treasurer's speech, then analysis of the details with our own specialists, key interest groups and economists.